The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Our next guest is Ruth Medjber. And she was working as a music photographer and following the likes of Hozier on tour and snapping all the big festivals, including Glastonbury. She's a very renowned gig photographer. And the first lockdown obviously put an end to all that. If you're photographing live gigs, it stopped. And she found herself alone in her apartment in Finglas in Dublin. And after a few days, she came up with a photography project that has become a massive success. And you would have seen it. It made the front page of the Irish Times. It was featured on CNN. It went viral on social. And she's launched her book on this project. It's called Twilight Together, and it's just, it's a gorgeous thing. Good morning to you, Ruth.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And I'm all the better for moving from the election and onto these lovely photographs. I have your book in front of me, hardback. And it was the people in windows is what people sort of say to me. Have you seen the photographs of the people in windows? Because our worlds had shrunk and you kind of found the beauty through windows. It was kind of, it seems like an obvious thing now. Where did it all start for you?
I always say that this project was born out of loneliness, idleness and boredom, because as a music photographer, I'm used to working 7 days a week. I'm used to working every day and I'm used to using my camera constantly. You know, I've kind of got like a bit of an itchy trigger finger when I don't take photographs for a while. And I think I kind of got a bit of a jump start on lockdown because, you know, the music industry was the first industry to really close down. And I found myself around early March looking at my entire year's worth of calendar appointments being totally cancelled. Yeah. And it was desperate. It was. And I know a lot of people were in the same boat and were all feeling really desperate and alone. And personally, I live alone in my little house. And I had this idea to shoot people through windows years ago. So we're talking about like when I was in college, like 2008. But back then, it was really random and it wasn't relevant. You know, pictures of people in their window at twilight, it doesn't make any sense. But it was only when I was sitting here looking at my window. Now, I have a tiny ground floor apartment, but the beautiful thing about it is that it's got a massive window and it overlooks this courtyard of other massive windows. So there'd be a certain time of night where the light would fade enough and people would flick on their big light in their house or whatever. And I was looking at them all going, God, isn't it fascinating that every single person in Ireland right now is at home? We're all doing the same thing. Nobody is out. There's no pubs. There's no restaurants. Everyone's at home. And then I kind of thought, oh, wow, there's that idea I had so many years ago. It now suddenly has relevance. So I kind of revived it and I thought, well, it was like by March 23rd, I went and did my first test shoot with my friends and my text message to her was hilarious. It's like, what time does the baby go to sleep? Can you keep her up past twilight? I was like, I want to come out and do something mad. And she, of course, was like, you do whatever you want to do. She's kind of used to me throwing mad stuff at her. And March 23rd is when it started. And I just kind of look back at that moment and that when I usually see when I go out to her house, I go in and I have a cup of tea or a glass of wine. I'll stay in their spare room and I'll get up with the baby in the morning. And, you know, it's a nice little vibe. But when I walked away from their house that night, just everything hit me. I walked away thinking, is this going to be it now for the next while? I got back in the car and I looked at the photographs that we'd just taken and I went, I think I've captured something more than just my mates at a window here. I think this is going to be important. And I just kind of ran with it. And I really, really ran with it.
That was Maeve Paul and their 9-month-old baby, Beth.
Beth, who I call Bumblebee.
And there's just something about, because obviously people are looking at windows and they talk about the view they can see out, but you're looking in and it's that amber light at that time of the day. Why twilight?
Twilight's just gorgeous. There's something magical about it, isn't it, when the day turns into night. So that's, you know, there's this gorgeous ambience and the cozy vibe that we get. It's real kind of Christmassy and warm and welcoming and inviting. But also, not going to lie, it's a little bit down to physics, because if you've ever tried to take a picture through a window in daylight, what do you get? The reflection of the photographer.
Right.
So it's like this tipping point. I had to wait for the balance here. I had to wait for the light outside to get to such a low level enough that the inside would be bright enough to shine through. But I didn't want it to be completely dark outside because I wanted to illuminate the outside of their homes as well. So wait, you wait for that moment of perfection for light levels and then you get this lovely blue glow outside.
Wow. And the effect is really stunning. And that's probably why it captured people's emotions at the time. Yeah. So if you're to get this book together, and it's a fairly big book, there's lots and lots of, how many photographs are in it in total?
There are 150 households from all across Ireland. Okay. And I counted them up the other day with my mum, and there's a 499 people in the book, not including bumps, which are now babies.
Wow. But you had to travel and you could only specifically shoot them at twilight. So that must have been a fairly frantic dash around the place.
Oh, this book is a logistical nightmare. I won't lie. It wasn't fun to shoot. So, like, and plus, you know, when I got the book deal, which came quite early on, I got loads of lovely book offers, and I was like, okay, I want to give this project the attention and the dedication that it deserves. I think it could be something here. So what I said to myself was like, right, you're going to work for as long as lockdown ends. And I did. I went for 3.5 months shooting every single night until the pubs opened. And then... But for me, it was more important that this book represented all of Ireland in 2020. So that means not just Dublin. So I went everywhere I could possibly think of. I went all around Ireland. And then I also captured every type of person, because I didn't want it just to be a book of my friends or a book of my contacts or whatever. Yeah. I wanted to make sure that every race, every religion, every culture, every profession, every type of personality, even though they might not be in my social circle, I wanted to widen my circle, get myself out there, meet new people, and make sure that they found a place in this book. Because it's pointless if it's just one-sided here, you know? I grew up in a mixed race family, and when I was growing up in the 90s, looking at art in galleries and in books like this, I never would have seen myself represented, not in a positive way anyway. So for me, it was absolutely essential to get every type of person in this book, and I think I might have got it.
Your father is Algerian, is that right?
He is, yeah.
And have you gone over there? I mean, what's your experience like of your father's home place?
Algeria is mad. I love to travel. I do. I love to take one big holiday a year. And before lockdown, I went to Morocco for 3 weeks. So I just love exploring new places. And I think that within me is born from my father not being Irish, although he is bloody Irish now, I tell you. but great, like, I went there first when I was 17, because, of course, in the 90s in Algeria, it was a little bit troublesome and it was dangerous and it wasn't the best place to be, you know, visiting. Nice. So as soon as it was safe enough, I popped over and I spent my time marvelling at everything and everyone and took loads of photographs. And it really just, you know, it was a culture shock, obviously. This is a 17-year-old, you know, mini rocker chick who hangs out at Temple Bar and listens to alternative indie music, suddenly going over to Algeria. but it was lovely, and it definitely instilled a lot in me, like, going forward, thinking like, oh yeah, this is, I want to see more of the world. I want to see all these different people. And yes, just, it's a fascinating place as well. It's really great.
He gave you a gorgeous name as well. Medjbur.
yeah, we're the only ones in Ireland. I'm dead proud
of
that. I think I might be the only Ruth Medjbur in the world. I've done extensive Google searches, but I'd love to be proved wrong. So if anyone's listening who is Ruth Medjbur, holler at me.
That's very useful when your business is getting people to look you up as well. And give us your website a shout out there while you're at it.
You see, this is the problem. You think it's going to be really useful if people could spell it. So it's Ruth Medjbur, right? And I have ruthmedjbur.com, but no one can ever spell it. So I came up in 2008 when I was leaving college, I came up with ruthlessimagery.com. And so I titled business Ruthless Imagery because it was a different place back then as well, to be honest. And I changed my name. I went by Ruthless Imagery kind of for two reasons, right? Three reasons. The spelling is one of them. But also, I wanted to kind of hide my heritage back then. And I wanted to hide my gender because I, of course, was going to work in music on crew.
Yes.
And it was very much a boys club back then. So I was like, I'm just going to let my work speak for itself, not tell them that I'm a girl until my work is amazing.
And it's not a bad place for people missing gigs. They can order photographs from that website as well, can't they? Because there are some amazing photographs which almost look like they're staged, but they're actually taken mid-concert, aren't they?
Well, you know what? That's kind of my life. I kind of just grew up in front of stages taking photographs. So I love, and thank you so much for saying that as well, because that's really important to me, that they look really professional and really glamorous. And I like that the artists look like it, or they almost look like in a studio, but they are mid kind of base face. They are giving it all. But yeah, I mean, I've done that for like pretty much 20 years, all my life, just taking photographs of gigs. And
One of the things that you probably didn't intend, but I got out of the book Twilight Together, is just having a nose into people's houses and looking over their shoulder, because it really does light up their houses inside. And I find myself judging people based on their window frames.
Do you know what as well? Because I left my portrait to the very last night. I thought, I was kind of putting it off. I was like, okay, I'll do mine the day before the pubs open when everyone's scattered. I'll do my picture the last. And it was only when the camera was turned on myself did I have the immense fear of exactly that. Okay. People are going to be judging my house. So I kind of went around tidying stuff up, and I was like, am I wearing the right thing? People are going to be seeing it. And I kind of felt bad then, because I put these 499 people through that over 3.5 months, and I didn't even care. I was like, yeah, you're grand, your house is lovely, whatever, just get the picture.
It was also probably a good idea to do it before Dermot Bannon turns every house into a glass box, so that just a lovely window frame.
There's all these little tiny windows, like those tiny cottage windows, and I love all the old frames. Like, it's really interesting from an architectural point of view. And it's like, you know, it's gas to see. And then, of course, when I went west, Clifton especially, they had these amazing big glass panel side houses. So they were like, oh, I've got this bit of a window. Do you want to come up? And I'm like, your window is the size of my entire apartment. Because obviously they're out looking at these stunning landscapes. So, actually, I mean, it's fascinating to see.
Clifton is one of the nicest pictures. It's a B&B with the old kind of small pane glass windows. And you don't just do homes. I see Claire and Ash photographed through the windows of their houseboat here, which is a really special looking photograph. Somebody asked me last night when I was saying I was going to be talking to you, they were saying, do they get people now to clean their windows before you arrive, or do they just do it themselves out of a panic?
They do it themselves out of a panic. However, there are some pretty filthy windows in it, and I kind of gauged when I got there and the window was just dirty enough to be kind of cute, I'd leave it. But if it was absolutely filthy, I had a bottle of window lean in the car and I'd take it out and I'd clean their windows for them, because I couldn't see them otherwise.
There's a couple of ones in there. You can let people look them up themselves. But you're kind of wondering that there's someone who's not very self-conscious at all, so it might be a good thing in there as well. I was also waiting for someone to pop up in a carrier or a Mayo jersey, since we're mentioning them today, because there's always the one. But as I say, you've got all sorts of families and everyone involved.
Do you know what? That's gas. I don't think there's any jerseys in the book, is there?
I was wondering, have I missed it? Yeah, but there's so much.
No, maybe people were told to put on their best outfits or whatever. I know a lot of people like dug out their hair straighteners and put on mascara for the first time. And, you know, there's even people who dressed up and put suits on, which I think is brilliant. So maybe it's because there was no sports at the time and they weren't watching any sports and therefore they didn't have the jerseys on. Who knows?
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot now. I'm going to ask you what was your favourite kind of picture, or maybe the story, because you have the stories counted throughout the book as well. You've written very nice stories which give us context.
Thanks. Do you know what? It's like choosing your favourite child, but I have 150 of them. There's a lot of them. The book to me is kind of like a bit of a roller coaster, like lockdown was for everyone, because you know the way there was absolute immense kind of lows during this period, and then there was some lovely moments where you kind of saw people coming together and it gave you a little bit of hope. The book is very much like that. So everyone else was out there living lockdown like that, and I was living lockdown through this book. So everything that I went through is kind of in this book in a roundabout kind of way. So there's ups and downs. So I kind of think that my favourite changes depending on what mood I'm in. Sometimes I get really sentimental, and then my favourite stories are the ones from like Ardmore, where I went down to this place that I didn't know anyone. And the thing about this book was the travel was immense. I was travelling down to places like Cork, but 4 hours away from where I am. I was arriving at like 11 o'clock. Twilight was like 11:15. I was doing the photographs and then I was hopping back in the car for another 4 hour journey. So it was exhausting.
And you often didn't have the option to stay, because of lockdown and everything.
There's no hotels open, but the people of Ardmore heard I was coming down to Cork and they were like, do you want to do a stop off here? We have these glamping pods that you're welcome to stay in. And I was like, oh, yes, please, 100%. I want to stay anywhere. I am so tired right now. So they put me up in these glamping pods. But then that night, I did my little tour around Ardmore, taking photographs as quickly as I could. And I ended up at this last spot. And the family own a pottery shop, a gorgeous shop down there. And they had actually put a little bag under the bush for me because they wanted to treat me to something nice. And they knew it was my last stop. And in the bag was a bottle of wine, a wine glass, a corkscrew, a couple of beers and a couple of like cans of Coke and orange juice. And they were like, we want you to have a drink. We can't come out. We're going to have a drink through the window. So I stood there just taking in the sight of Ardmore Bay, talking to these strangers who were now my best friends, and it was under the summer solstice that night. It was lovely, and then I went back to stay in these glamping pods that are on an open zoo farm thing. Wow. Fell asleep to the sound of like donkeys and pigs and all sorts, and I just thought, this is the most bizarre thing I've ever done. But it's lovely.
What
and
a project.
Well, yeah,
you can be very
kindness,
proud of it.
Yeah.
And you're,
Thank you.
Today, Twilight Together.
It is.
There's a text coming in. 51551 is the text. And it sounds like lockdown was good for you. I never heard of Ruth before the lockdown, but came across her on Twitter in May. This morning, I received a text saying, Ruth's book is being delivered to me today at lunchtime. I can't wait. To anybody out there not familiar with Ruth's photography, have a look at her work. It's just stunning. Best wishes to her. Credit is so well deserved. There's more here. Ruth took some stunning photographs of the recent Soft Nights, socially distant concerts pre-lockdown in Dunderry Park in the heart of the Boyne Valley. Please give a shout out to Natasha Duffy and Caroline Duke of Soft Productions for keeping live music going in a safe environment in these difficult times.
Absolutely. And you know what? Caroline put that festival on while she was 9 months pregnant, and she just had a baby last week, baby Ada. So congratulations to them. I know. And this is the thing. We're a resilient bunch when we want to be. I mean, I'm putting on a gig tonight to celebrate this book, and it's a live streamed gig, and I'm absolutely so nervous, but like, it's just what you have to do. You just have to keep getting up and doing it. So yeah, it's lovely to hear those messages.
And speaking about getting up and doing it, what will be your kind of dream project you're looking ahead to next year, hopefully, if everything can go back and we can look at gigs again?
Oh God, you know what? I wish my calendar for 2020 was put in place for 21. I want to shoot Glastonbury again. I want to travel. I want to tour. I want music to come back, but not just for me, but for everybody who works in the music industry, because there's a lot of my friends and colleagues who haven't worked since March, and my heart goes out to them because it is insanely tough. And I was able to pivot and turn my lens to something else, but they can't. They're very, you know, it's very defined what they do. So if my dreams could come true right now, it would be just get us back and get us out to gigs. So if everyone could just please wear masks and wash your hands, and we'll get through this quicker.
Here, here. Well, look, it's an idea that came to you, and you kind of did the Twilight Together, taking those window portraits at the start of the year when the news was really awful. And here it is on sale today when the news is once again kind of migraine inducing. So it is a really lovely escape from any weather. It's beautifully put together as well. And I suppose it kind of reminds us as well that even when everything's going badly and you kind of start to believe the worst of people around the world, this here is your permanent collection of Twilight photos showing that, you know, it gives us reason to keep on believing in the best part of us.
I hope so. That's a really nice thing to say. Thank you. And I hope so. I do hope that people can look through the book, especially going through lockdown too now, and go, okay, everybody else is doing the same thing as me. We're all at home and let's just stick it out. So, yeah, here we go. It's out. I can't believe it's out today.
So it's published by Doubleday Ireland. Twilight Together is what it's called, if you want to look at it. I'm just going to mention your live stream as well. So performances by Paul Noonan, Sinead White and Stephen James Smith. And the details on that, ruthlessimagery.com.
Thank you so much.
Ruth Medjberg, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Mine too. Thank you so much.
Look after yourself.
Good luck with the show. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks a million. Bye-bye.
Bye.